Manuel. Start again. Is this a true image? So God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, just like us, so they may rule. What kind of rule would that be? Well, it's all in the first part, people. It's all in the image. If you're made in the image of God, who are you going to rule like? Like God does. So there's no mystery about what kind of rule it will be. What kind of rule was God's rule? It was creative. He started off creating things. It was positive. He made things. They were good things. It was generous. As soon as he made them, you know what he did? He gave them food, gave them a role, gave them a place. That's what he's like. Now, if he made humans in his image to rule, that's what they're like. They go around bringing creativity and generosity and positivity wherever they go. It's a great thing to meet someone who's like God, isn't it? It says there in Genesis 1:26. Here we go. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea. How are you getting on with that? Are the fish doing what you're telling them? Okay. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Just like you see, something special happens at the boundary of male and female. In fact, we have all the beautiful Genesis boundaries in the picture there. Day and night. Earth and sky. Sea and land. And all those lovely places. Who doesn't love the seaside? Who doesn't love the sunset? Who doesn't love when male and female meet? There's something special there. Not just sex appeal. There's a God thing there. It's terrific. Okay. In the male and female, he created them. So together, they're his image. God blessed them, it says. Isn't that great? There are loads of creation accounts in ancient literature, as you might know or you might not. But in most of those creation accounts, humans were made just to work, just to be slaves. But when God made people, first thing on the agenda was, you're blessed. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. How about that? We want more like you. Isn't that a nice thing to hear? If you guys could have babies, that would be great. Because I like you so much, I'd love to have more of you. I think God liked what he did, don't you? He was pleased. You know, sometimes you take a picture, you're pleased, and sometimes you're not so pleased. I think when God did this, he was pleased. He said, I like this, I'd like, well, let's make loads of copies of this one. You know, image, brackets 2, image, brackets 3, image, brackets 4. We could even give them names. Okay. Let's copy and paste all over the place. Fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant. Here you go, psh, presents, straight away, straight up, food for you. And God saw what he had made, and it was very good. It was evening and it was morning, the sixth day. Okay, so if God's applying for a passport, well, he's got it sorted already, doesn't he? Humankind. Or that's how it was. Yeah, you probably know the story, but it wasn't long before something went wrong. Now, I have a question for you. Is this a true image? The guy pointing the finger at someone else? The guy who says, I'm afraid, I'm hiding. Does that sound like our creative, generous, positive God and the humans made in his image? True image? I'm clicking no on this one. Are you with me? We're clicking no. Let's not upload that one. That's not for God's passport. Doesn't look like God. Okay? If you met that and then you met God, you wouldn't say, oh, I've met someone like you before. No, you wouldn't. You say, that's not like the picture in your passport, God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. As we're reading there. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, I think she was bored. Now, sometimes God gives you the gift of boredom. And when you're given the gift of boredom, it's very important that you use it well. Because sometimes We just feel like we just want something or need something. And if an appropriate solution isn't to hand, we sometimes grab something inappropriate. Okay? So sometimes you just have to wait for the right thing. When you wait, you honor God. Instead of saying, look, I'm just going to do this. Like, God wasn't kind of present or didn't seem to be present at the time. You thought, well, I don't see him anywhere here. And, you know, he's not coming yet. And here's me. And here's this stuff. Now, God said not to take it, but it looks nice. It looks nice. So, sure, why not? Well, here's why not. God said, don't do it. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Think, oh, we're not. Oh, this is not good. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I don't like what we are. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Okay. The image has been destroyed. It's a bit like me with the passport office question. Are you wearing something on your head? Because, like, that would spoil the picture. Okay? It even said, are you smiling? You have to say no. You can't smile. Okay? Some things spoil the picture. Okay? So the smile would have spoiled it. Something on my head would have spoiled it. Doing a selfie like this, you can't use the front camera because I don't want the big kind of stretch look with the big arm in the picture. Okay? So they said, don't do a selfie. So that you can spoil a picture. And the spoiled ones, they go in the recycle bin. So here we go. The image is spoiled, people. That's why you've probably noticed that humans don't really look just like God a lot of the time. And he knew this. God said, and who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman, she gave it to me. So now he's not just hiding. He's not just lost his creativity and his positivity and his generosity. He's got problems, but his problems are all someone else's fault. That much is very clear to him. Okay? And she, of course, says, well, it's not my fault, it's the serpent's fault. So here we got this finger pointing, negativity, shame, instead of this creative, expansive God and people creative and expansive and positive operating in his image. Instead, they're skulking saying, I hope we don't get caught. It's sad, isn't it? And if you're a human, this is the story of every man. This is your story too. You know what? You're sometimes afraid. You are. You mightn't call it that, but you are. And sometimes people who are afraid do strange things, like our friend in the picture. He doesn't look like he's afraid, but he's afraid. Sometimes people who are afraid behave in a way that makes it look like they're not afraid, in a very exaggerated way, to kind of say, I'm not afraid. Why are you saying that? Okay, you're afraid. I'm afraid. We fear the future. God created day one, day two, got new things. God's not afraid of new stuff. You know that, don't you? Always doing something new. He made humans in his image. Always ready for the future. We lean into the future. We love the future. God's people love the future. That's where they belong, not the past. Past is over. We love the future. The future is our place. We lean into the future with creativity, with positivity, with possibility, with generosity. Something's gone wrong with the image. This one goes in the recycle bin. So God's still there, making his passport application, doesn't have a picture to upload. What's he going to do? It says in Colossians 1:15, Colossians is sometimes said to contain a lot of Christology, which is true and which is a great thing. It says in Colossians 1:15, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. The word is icon, like we get the word icon from. An icon, a bust, a statue. Something that's made just like someone else. Say, oh, that's James Joyce. Oh, that's W.E. Yeats. Look, they made a bust of him. You know, so you see the Son, you think, that's what the Father is like. Now, he's not a bust made out of marble. He's a living bust. And so when he went around doing good and healing everyone, people thought, oh, what's this? What's this? We're hungry for this. There's something in here that says, I want this, because it evoked a call, or evoked a fragrance of the long lost home that's inside us. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's what we were meant to be, isn't it? We were meant to be the image of the invisible God, just like him, spitting image of the Father. Just like him. Well, it said that Colossians is about Christology, and it is. But you know, Colossians, if I may coin a word, is also about youology. It's about you too. Because it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, put on the new self, renewed in the image of the Creator. We're going back to where we started, people. This is what God's been about all the time. From the very start, God said, let's make humans, people in our image, just like God. Wouldn't that be so brilliant? And multiply them, I've loads of people like that. Went wrong. God brought one man, Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Let me ask you about Jesus. Is this a true image? Is Jesus a true image? Yes, he is. He's a true image. That's what God is like. Not wooden and religious, but life-giving, creative, generous, gracious, inclusive, humble, meek, valiant, stand up for the rights of the oppressed. He's a true image. And what has he done? He's died. He's risen again. Not just for himself, but for us. So that that corrupt image can be binned and, photoshopped. It's more than photoshopped, but that a new image can be created in us. There's something new for us to put on. He just didn't die as himself. He died for you. He also died as you. You died. That old image that doesn't represent God, it's gone, folks. He rose as you to give you new life. And it's coming. And it's here. Put on your new icon, renewed in the icon. You're the icon of God. It's back. God's program is back on track. Humans in his image again. This is the gospel. We're back to where we were meant to be all along, the image of God. And of course, if you're in the image of God, you can't have a friendship with God because Ahnian Kirog Kirog Ella. One beetle knows another beetle, if you don't know the Irish language. One beetle knows another beetle. You can have friendship with God because you're like him. You get him. He gets you. So being in his image implies relationship. Also implies, of course, representation. That when you rule, you do it like he does it. Sometimes you say your prayers and you ask God, what'll I do? What should I do here? You don't need to ask God. Ask you. You're like him. What would you do? You're like God. Get on with it. Really? Yeah, really. He has put his stamp on you. Now just go and operate. Whew. So here Christ has made for us a new suit of clothes to put on. The image renewed. Back again. I'm just going to go to Romans chapter 6 just to explain how this thing works. What Jesus did on the cross, what Jesus did rising out of the tomb, and what that does for us. What's God at all along? He's making a new image. He's renewing the image. You know, if you get an old bashed up vintage car, you know what you want. You know, you look at it and you see rusty VW, but you think, I know this could be red and gleaming and gorgeous. Okay? You just know it can be. It wasn't made to be a rust bucket. It was made to be a thing of, you know, curvature and speed and you know, delight. Okay? And you know what's in there, but it's got spoiled somewhere along the way. But there's renewing to take place. God's renewing us in his image. That's what Easter is about. That's what Jesus' death is about. That's what the resurrection is about. God's bringing back from the grave what was lost and gone. God is bringing back the image of himself in us. Humans. Okay. Romans chapter 6 says, verse 2, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in sin any longer? Do you notice it says, we have died. It doesn't just say Jesus has died. You're in Jesus. What happened to him happened to you. Jesus was crucified. He's a dead man. You were crucified. You're a dead man or a dead woman. You, the sinner, you're dead. That's why Jesus came to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He put on our suit of clothes first. He became the sinner. He became one of us. Not just one of us as it was in the beginning, but one of us as we are now. He entered into the world of sorrow and fear and isolation. One of my friends, she's 21 years old. She's finally defined her life with the word isolation. It's a human thing. You know, we just feel this isolation, this state we're in. Jesus came into that state. He came into the state we're in. He took that upon himself. He took that to the cross. He died not just for you. He died as you. You have died. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See what's going on? Jesus didn't need, in a sense, to die and rise again, but we did. We badly needed that. We needed to die and rise again. Jesus became our representative human. Verse 5, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. We know we were crucified. It's good to know that. So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that we died with him. We believe that we will live with him. Some of this is future. The resurrection of the body is still future. But the new life is here already. There's a thing going on in what Jesus has done. He's died, he's risen again, and his victory is almost complete. He's sitting on a seat, but hasn't put his feet on the footstool just yet. It's complete, but not just fully finished. Sometimes we get these beautiful emails. We got one this week. No, not an encouraging one from a Christian friend. But one of these emails that says, dear whoever, the payment to your account has been processed and will appear in your account shortly. If you're living in the US, please allow 2 days for clearance. If you're living outside the US, please allow 4 business days for clearance. Woohoo! It's going to come. Guess what? We had a little chat about it yesterday. We said, let's use that to pay the bill so that the sheriff doesn't come after us. We've already decided what to do with it. It's not in our account yet. But you know what? It's coming. We've heard the good news. We've believed it. It will come. These guys, it always comes when they say that. It's coming. We're going to pay that bill. The sheriff's not going to have us. Hallelujah. It's good, isn't it? We're counting on it. We haven't got it, but we're counting on it. Well, we have kind of got it. We've got the news about it, which is as good as getting it. It's going to be there. Could the sheriff just wait till Friday? Okay. That's why it says there in Romans 6, verse 7, count yourselves dead to sin. See, and count the money you haven't got yet. Did you know that? You probably do that every month, don't you? Wondering, will that land the credit card before my salary? No, I'm going to be okay. Oh, it was close. Just 2 days. One day next month. Okay. You count it. Because you know it's yours. It's certainly coming. Verse 10, the death that he died to sin once for all. The life that he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have to count it. Okay? If I look in my account, my bank account now, online, the whole thing, look at it right now. Is there enough there to pay the bill? No. But that's not how I'm counting it. I'm counting in what I know is coming. Is there enough to pay the bill? Yes. So right today, I'm happy. I'm happy already. I'm not waiting for the land. We wait for the resurrection of the body, but while we wait, we know that we have the things that he has died and risen to give to us. Count it, it says. You know that he died. You know that you died. You know that he rose. You believe that you will rise. Count on it. Count it that way. Count yourself the image of God. Count yourself that you're in. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you should obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Don't count about yourself the way you did count yourself. But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. Jesus has come. He has died for you. He has risen for you. You can count on it. The image of God that you were meant to be, that got spoiled, has been scrunched up. The image of God that you are to be has been provided. Put it on. Put on this new man. Don't be like Eve, who's there and thinking,
but it looks nice.
Put on what Christ has provided for you. Death to sin, life to God. Count yourself that way. It's all in the power of our choice. Okay? You go into a room and someone's there and you consider them a friend. You start talking to them. Okay? Like it says here, count yourself alive to God. If you go in and think they've got a chip on their shoulder against you, you say, I don't think we're friends. I don't consider that we're friends. I'm not going to engage. But the scripture says to you, count yourself alive to God. Be talking to him. Count yourself dead to sin. Turn down its opportunities. You will get opportunities that you need to turn down. Make sure to turn down those opportunities. Okay? An opportunity to sin will come along and present itself and say, hey, it looks nice. It looks nice. It would feel nice. I count myself dead to that. I count myself alive to you, Lord. God has made us his image and remade us in his image after we needed that help. We're going to celebrate what Jesus has done for us by breaking bread together. He said, remember what I've done. We're living in it, but let's remember it wasn't cheap. Jesus has died and has risen again in order to erase that untrue image and in order to provide us with the new clothing we can put on, faith in his death and resurrection. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done in your death and resurrection. Thank you that you've remade us into the image of God. We thank you that the good news has come to us, and that we've heard and believed the gospel of our salvation. And we thank you for the bread and wine that we can share as we celebrate, as we count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, back as an image of the creative, positive, generous God, set free from fear and anger and accusation towards us and against others, set free from that darkened image and made alive again in Jesus. Amen. Alan, will you take this?